Hallelujah, hallelujah. Were you ready for the word of the Lord? Yes. Amen. Let us share our favorite verse together. Oh, well, no, Debbie already did that. Let's share our favorite verse together today, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. I'll tell you, it is the day when we need to diffuse his knowledge in every place, because the world seems to be so knowledgeless about God. There's a lawsuit that's been formed or been brought in Mercer County, West Virginia, to get Bible reading out of the school. This is in kindergarten. And it's being supported by the Freedom From Religion group, because they want to get the Bible teaching out of the classroom. Because the mother is concerned that if her child does not attend this, that they'll be ostracized, because they'll be one of several children that may not attend this class. Now, I'll just say this as a prelude. When we grew up in school, we had Jehovah Witnesses. And Jehovah Witnesses would not say the Pledge of Allegiance in school. Jehovah Witnesses would not go to parties in school that you had for Easter or Christmas or even birthday parties, and they would withdraw their kids. We never picked on them for it. It was just, that's what you believe, we respect that, and go on. And we came from a conservative community that, according to today's media, we would have taken them out and crucified them for that, but we didn't do that. We respected their right. There was no problems in school. Nobody got picked on in school for. That's the way it was. Now, back to the Mercer County lawsuit. It's interesting that this is a publicly funded, non-required course that parents enroll their children in. And they're worried about the school mandating this course. It's already been shown by the Supreme Court that these things are legal, that they can be done. This is the lack of knowledge about God. I mean, we would hate to put ethics on children. We would hate to have to teach them right and wrong, good and bad. We would hate for these children to be raised in a godly community that respects the right of life and property. Wouldn't that be a shame to see a society built around those things? Oh, wait, we live in that kind of a society, but there are people who want to fundamentally change that. So I'm just saying, it is a time for us to diffuse the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. And we have an opportunity now, because of the inauguration, we have an opportunity to lift our voices up. And we can lift our voice up as long as we don't allow it to be shouted down. Amen. And we can do it in love. Hallelujah. God told us on Christmas Sunday, let this year be a manifestation of my glory. And that involves our will. We've got to let this. We've got to be a participant in this manifestation of the glory of God. Now, go with me, if you have your Bibles, go with me to Mark chapter 5. Now, we've been putting up these scriptures on the screen, but I still want to encourage you to look them up in your Bibles, because you still need to find out where these books of the Bible are. Amen. You know, we heard a national pastor here several weeks ago. He said he even asked his church to put away their cell phones and their computers and stuff like that, because he said you need to get a book. You need to get a Bible that you can look at it in. And I think there's some wisdom even in that. Amen? So Mark chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. We're kind of picking this up in the middle. It says, behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. Now, this is Jairus' faith. This is what he's coming to Jesus on. He's saying, if you will come to my house, if you will lay your hands on my daughter, she will live. That's his faith. That's what he's putting out to Jesus. You know, we've said this before, but this being the year of the manifestation of the glory of God, glory always comes with persecution. Glory always comes with interference, with distractions, with other things to draw you away, to get our mind off the things of God and onto other things that will steal our faith and rob our faith and deny us the things that God has promised to us. If you go down to verse 25, 24 just says, Jesus went with him and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Verse 25 says, now a certain woman, here's the interruption. They're on the way to Jairus' house, and this woman comes, and she has an issue of blood, and she interrupts Jesus, and there's a confusion that's going on in the camp and everything like that. And I'm not going to talk about her, but I just want to talk about Jairus in this. You know, if you or I were in this situation, and there was this disruption, think about it. Jesus is coming to your house. Jesus, your expectation is he is going to lay his hands on your daughter and she's going to live. This is your faith, and here's this other woman again getting in the way. Most of us would have thrown up our hands. It always goes this way. Nothing ever goes the way I want it to go. Nothing ever works out for me. And we throw up our hands and we'd be frustrated and we'd just say, Jesus, just forget it. Just go away. Jairus didn't do that. And in verse 36, we see Jesus speaking to Jairus, and he says to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. Do not be afraid, only believe. When distractions come, when things come against what your faith is, it's easy to be drawn away. And Jesus' word to us this morning is, don't be afraid, only believe. You need to understand that your faith will see you through interruptions. Your faith will see you through distractions. Only believe. Patience is sustained faith. So many of us, we're praying for patience. You need to have your faith sustained. You need to not quit just because the waves come up. You need to not back down just because other things happen that appear to be an interruption or a temporary delay to your answer. Only believe. That's what Jesus told Jairus. That's what he's speaking to us today. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. Don't back away. Only believe. See, Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. Now, note, tribulations do not cause your faith to fail. Looking at circumstances instead of God causes our faith to fail. Looking at the waves caused Peter's faith to fail. He's already walking on the water. What do the waves or the wind have to do with walking on water? Not a thing, because he's already doing it. But he got distracted, and the moment he got distracted, the Bible says immediately he sank. Immediately. I mean, it was just in a flash. Immediately he began to sink. Why? He got his eyes off Jesus. So God is telling us, only believe. Now, Jesus went on to say, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Isn't that interesting? Be of good cheer. Now, when we read that, we always think, well, we're supposed to just put a happy face on and just suffer. Just cheer. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. All things work for him who loves God. Hallelujah. And we try to put on this cheer, and have you noticed it doesn't always work? Cheer, just putting a happy face on, you know, it kind of makes you look like you're just dazed. You're like a deer in the headlights. You just stand there like, what? And people wonder if you really have a clue what's going on, because you just got this silly happy face on your face. Well, I want to look at that word cheer. He says, be of good cheer. He could have said, be of good confidence or be of good courage, because that's what the word cheer means. The word cheer is a verb. That means it's active. It's not passive, it's active. This is what you're doing. It's not what you're thinking about, it's what you are doing. The word is tharseo. It means to be of good courage. The root of that word is to be confident, bold, courageous, to have confidence. You know, when tribulation comes, you've got to have courage. When hard times come, you've got to be bold. You've got to be confident. You've got to know that God will do what God said he will do. And let me take you now to another scripture, because Jesus is saying, back to Mark 5:36. He says, do not be afraid, only believe. The word believe there is also a verb. It's pisteo. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but it's close. It's P-I-S-T-E-U-O. Again, it is a verb, it is active, and it literally means to be persuaded of, and thus to place confidence in, to trust, or to have reliance upon. One of the words, meanings of that is to lean on someone. You know, they have the faith fall, the friendship fall, and they say, if you trust me, you'll fall and I'll catch you. Well, sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't, but you'll never find out till you fall, till you just trust someone. This is the verb of it, of trusting someone. I'm fully persuaded, God, if I lean on you, you will catch me. You will accomplish those things in my life. Go to Matthew 9:2. See, Curtis made a statement in Bible study here a few weeks ago that really impacted me. He said, if there is nothing to contradict your faith, there is no need for faith. If there's nothing to contradict your faith, you don't need faith. Isn't that simple? Why do you have faith? Because in this world you will have tribulation. Therefore, we've got to be of good courage. We've got to be of cheer. We've got to have boldness. We've got to have confidence that God is able. Amen. That's what when faith comes in. If you don't need faith, you don't need faith. But we need faith. You can have, now understand this, you can have tribulation and still have courage. You can have tribulation and still have confidence. You can have tribulation but still have boldness in the face of it. You can still have fear and still be persuaded that God is able. You can. It's not always a contradiction. You can have fear and not have unbelief. But you can have boldness and confidence and trust in God even in the midst of pressure. Now Matthew 9:2, this is curious to me because it says in 9:2 they brought a paralytic to Jesus. And in verse 2 it says, behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you. Be of good cheer. In other words, okay, I know you're paralyzed. I know these other men have brought you in. And I see your faith, because you wouldn't have allowed them to bring you in if you didn't believe. If you didn't think something would happen, if these men didn't think something would happen, this whole event never would have occurred. The word faith there is a noun of pistis. It means to be fully persuaded. Now, cheer there means courage. And he's telling the man, okay, I know you're in this rough situation. Have courage. You know, it takes courage to hang on to your faith. It takes courage to stand against the pressure that comes against your faith. It takes a boldness, it takes a confidence, it takes a courage. And there's people that are standing in courage that we don't even know about because it's just what they do. And the courage will activate their faith and keep their faith strong so that they receive what God has promised to them. Now, keep your place in Matthew 9, but also go now to Romans chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. Because this is an awesome thing to begin to think about. Romans chapter 4, it says in verse 20, talking about Abraham. Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Now that word faith there is pistis. That's the word that we're talking about here, to be persuaded of. But he goes on to give it a deeper definition. In verse 20, he said, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, being fully convinced that what Yahweh had promised, Yahweh was also able to perform. See, this is his level of faith. This is that noun faith. He was fully convinced. We could ask a question today, what are you fully convinced of? when it comes to God in your life and the promises? What are you fully convinced of? When you hear words that have been prophesied over you, or you hear Jesus say things that can be applied to yourself, are you fully convinced? Is there unbelief in it, or are you fully convinced? This word faith here, even in the noun version of it, is to be fully convinced, fully persuaded, the King James says. And I like the King James version of it, to be fully persuaded. These men in Matthew 9 came to Jesus fully persuaded that God was going to be able to perform what he had promised. They were fully persuaded that Jesus was able to do what they were requesting of him. Jesus told the man, be of good cheer. Jesus encourages our faith. He says, have confidence. Just have confidence. Don't worry about whether it came to pass this second or next or tomorrow, but be patient in this. Have confidence in what God has said. Think about it. If God is for you, who can be against you? This is the attitude we've got to have. If God is for me, who can be against me? It doesn't matter who comes against me. Why? God's for me. And God will see me through this, amen? God will see me over these things. But I've got to have courage. I've got to have boldness to believe God in spite of all these things. Now listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 9:2. Excuse me. He says, son, be of good cheer, be of good courage. Your sins are forgiven you. What an odd thing to say. Be bold, be confident. Your sins are forgiven. What is Jesus trying to say? He's trying to say there is no sin that can keep you from receiving the healing. There is no barrier between you and God to enable you to receive what you've come to get. Isn't that good news? I mean, this is what Jesus is saying. Your sins are forgiven. Well, why? This guy's paralyzed. Now listen to this, because here comes the interruption. In verse 3 of Matthew, it says, and at once some of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemes. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? Now think about this. Jesus is calling this an evil thought. Who is Jesus that he could forgive sins? Who is this man? Who is this person? To say that the Son of God cannot forgive sins is blasphemy. To say that God cannot remove the barrier between you and what he has promised is blasphemy. We don't want to do that, do we? We don't want to blaspheme God. We don't want to call God's word of no account. We want to believe. We want to be faithful and believe what God has said. So Jesus says in verse 4, but Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. And then he said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And he arose and departed to his house. See, Jesus could have said, be healed. And the guy could have looked at him, but I'm sick. I've got this problem. Jesus said, oh, by the way, your sins are forgiven you. In other words, there's no reason for you to be in this condition any longer. Amen. There's no reason why you have to stay. Because we build in all these things, don't we? All the arguments. Well, I was born this way. Or your sins are forgiven you. Well, this is just how my life has lived. It has come out. It's probably because something happened to me early on, or I'm holding offense against someone. Your sins are forgiven you. In other words, he's getting rid of all the excuses, all the reasons that we want to bring up for all the problems that we have in our life. See, in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good courage, for I have overcome the world. And our trust is that Jesus is our conqueror. Amen. See, this is a disruption. This is that they began to attack Jesus. And this is what the world does. They attack Jesus. They attack what his word says. They attack his validity. They attack his person. The attention is now on Jesus. And Jesus commands the man, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Isn't that awesome? This guy's paralyzed. But because the attention is all on Jesus, Jesus can look at the man and say, arise. I tell you, because the man had his eyes on Jesus, guess what he did? He got up. He was paralyzed. Jesus, get up. It's like the guy with the withered arm. He comes and Jesus stands and says, because they're all watching to see if Jesus is going to heal on the Sabbath. And Jesus looks at the man. He looks around him and he gets disgusted. He says, stretch out your arm. The guy doesn't know what's going to happen, but his eyes are on Jesus. If he was looking at the crowd, he never would have done it. If he was looking at all the interruptions, he never would have done it, but his eyes were on Jesus. So he just raised up his arm, and as he did, it was made whole. Here's a paralyzed man. Arise. His eyes, his attention is on Jesus. And as Jesus said, arise, he just picked up his bed. Just picked it up. Where he got out of the bed first, and then he picked it up. Now, why is it important that he said to pick up your bed and go home? It was illegal to carry a bed on the Sabbath. He was breaking the law. See, the traditions of man make the word of God of no effect. If he had obeyed the traditions, the law of men, he never would have picked up his bed. There is a built-in excuse. But Jesus, I can't carry my bed. It's a Sabbath. They could stone me on this. Pick up your bed. Okay, I'll pick up your bed. His attention was on God, and so the other things didn't matter. The interferences disappeared because he was willing to obey God. Have courage. Because people are going to shout you down. When you start talking about some of this stuff, people are going to shout you down. They're going to come against you. They're going to attack you. Oh, you're of that group. Yeah, I am. I'm the group that's healed. I'm the group that's delivered. Yeah, that's a group. What group do you hang out with? You know, I love it when people say, well, don't get your hopes up. Well, how can you have faith if you don't have hope? And see, the devil comes to take your hope, doesn't he? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to take away those things that you want. Listen, some of you, this is a word of the Lord for some of you. The things that you have talked yourself out of, that you're wondering whether this is really God, that is a word of the Lord to you, because God gives you the desires of your heart. Some of those things, those dreams that you have, it's not you, it's God in you that's dreaming those dreams. To have a home, to get out of poverty, to be healed. Do you think the devil would give that to you? No! Man, he's got you right where he wants you. But see, it's the word of the Lord. He gives you the desires of your heart. Some of those desires that men are trying to talk you out of, those are God's desires that he has put in you for you to have courage in and believe on those things so that he can work to bring you out of the situation. But you've got to have courage. You've got to be willing to stand and to take a stand against all those bad thoughts, those bad attitudes, those curses that people put you in. He's the lesson here, and I love this. In verse 9, or go back to verse 6. I'm not sure which verse it is. Can you go back to verse 6? Verse 6. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power. That word is one of my favorite words in the Bible. It's a zousia. It's not that you would know that the Son of Man has dunamis power, strength, but a zousia. God can do whatever God wants to do. That's what Jesus is saying. So you think I can't do this? See, that's why they thought Jesus blasphemed. Because you can't do this. And Jesus said, yes, I can. I've got news for you. So can you. Whatever Jesus did, you can do. Yeah, but that was Jesus No, he's doing this to show that the Son of Man has power. Now, there's two ways you can look at that. The Son of Man is prophetic, meaning the Messiah. We all know that the Messiah can do that. But it's also talking about you and me. A Son of Man submitted to God has that kind of authority. I can do what I please because what I do is to please the Lord. And as long as my heart is to please the Lord, I can do what I please because what is in my heart is what God has planted there. Therefore, I'm not in sin doing what I please because it is the will of God that he's put in my heart. So arise. Arise. Pick up your bed. Go home. Not right now. We're still having church. But some of you need to arise. Because you're paralyzed. You're paralyzed where you are right now, and you're afraid to move. You're afraid to speak out. You're afraid to stretch out your arms because of the persecution that will come against you. It's time to arise. It's time to get out of bed. It's time to pick up those things and the trappings and go home and get rid of them. Get them out of your life. Go with me to Matthew 8, just a chapter before this. Remember, Jesus told Jairus, don't be afraid, only believe. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 2 and 3, behold, a leper came and worshiped Jesus, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Immediately. See, there's no doubt whether Jesus wants you healed. The leper didn't, he really wasn't confident. He really wasn't sure. The Lord, if you're willing, well, did Jesus have to go and pray about it? Did Jesus have to go, well, I have to check with Daddy and see if he really wants you to be healed? No, because he is healing. He is health. He is shalom, wholeness for all that we have. Amen? Yes. Excuse me, I got a dry spot. Now, still in Matthew 8, chapter 8, verse 5, right after that, Jesus had entered Capernaum. And a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is laying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. And the guy just said, I've got a servant, he's at home, and he's paralyzed. Jesus tells the man, I will come to your house. Same thing he told Jairus, or what Jairus was asking him to do. This guy didn't say that. He just stated the situation. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. Now, where is his faith? His faith is you just need to speak a word. Now, why is his faith at that level? Why doesn't he say, well, Jesus, I'd be really happy for you to come to my house? Because I know however you decide to do this, it'll work. Why did he tell Jesus, I don't need you to come to my house? Why did he say, only speak a word? Verse 9 gives us the clue. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. The word authority there is exousia. I'm a man that's used to authority. I'm a man under authority. When my commander uses his exousia, what is his will, and tells me to do something, I do it. When I am telling one of my servants to do something because of it's my will, he goes and does it. He says, I understand authority. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Wow. See, his faith was, Lord, I know you have exousia. You can do whatever you want to do. So I don't need you to come to my house because I understand how this works. You speak and it gets done because people are submitted to you, because your word has power and your word has authority. So Jesus, you just speak the word. See, he understood power. He understood the power of God. This first guy, the leper came to him, Lord, if you are willing. See, with this centurion, it's not if you're willing. You just speak the word. You speak the word and it'll happen. Jesus says, oh, this is great faith. He says, I've not found this, not even in Israel. Verse 11 says, and I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 13, Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. As you have believed. Look. He tells the centurion, as you have believed. What was the centurion's belief? Speak the word. That's all I need. You just speak the word, I know it's done. Because I understand the power of authority. I understand the power of words. I understand the power of the will of God. If he says it, it will be done. So I just receive that word. And Jesus said, as you have believed, it'll be done. The verse goes on, and his servant was healed that same hour. The same time that Jesus spoke the words, his servant was healed. Wow, what a miracle. Again, Jesus said to Jairus, do not be afraid, only believe. Go with me. Well, I'll show you this. Hebrews 11:6, a familiar verse, says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Without faith, that word is a noun, being fully persuaded, pistis. It's the same word that's being used in Romans chapter 4. It's the same word, being fully persuaded. He says, without being fully persuaded. Now think about that. Without being fully persuaded. See, we say, well, Lord, I believe, but sometimes we only believe in doctrine. We only believe it because we've heard it preached, but we're not fully persuaded about it yet. He says, but unless you're fully persuaded, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe. Now that word's the verb version of faith. He who comes to God must believe. Your faith has got to be activated. You activate it with motion. You activate it by works, by deeds. That's how you activate it. You can be thinking right, but you activate it sometime in your life. You've got to activate that faith by believing. How did the man, the paralytic, exercise his faith? He rose. When Jesus told him to get up, he didn't say, well, now, Jesus, I've been like this for years, and I've had the best doctors like me. No, he just got up. You'll see them sometimes in miracle services where they'll tell somebody in a wheelchair that's totally paralyzed, begin to move a finger. Just begin to move a little bit. And they'll look at their hand and they'll start moving their finger. And pretty soon their arm will start moving. And pretty soon they pull them up out of the wheelchair and they're healed. Why? They had faith. They began to activate their faith. See, if you want to get out of the situation you're in, you've got to do something. It's not enough to just know that God will heal you. You've got to do something. See, this is what a lot of people don't understand. Well, I want the church to pray for me. Well, the church will pray for you, but you still got to do something. You have to believe. You have to be fully persuaded. You have to be activated on this thing. It's not all up to God. It's up to you. See, Jesus could have spoken the word to the centurion, but if the centurion would have said, well, I don't know whether this stuff's going to work or not. No. The centurion said, speak a word. That's all I need. That's all I need. I don't need anything. You just speak the word. And see, when your faith falters, that's when you need to be of good cheer. You need to have courage. You need to see it through. I don't know what the centurion was thinking about on the way home, but when he got home, his servant said, hey, your servant was healed about this hour. He goes, I know it, because he was fully persuaded. Amen. See, we've got to be fully persuaded that not only God is, he is also a rewarder of those who, now catch this, diligently seek him. This isn't just a one-time thing. This isn't, I prayed 20 years ago for it. No, you've got to diligently seek him. You've got to persuade your heart. You've got to have cheer. You've got to have courage. You've got to have, and I'll tell you, for some of us, that you need self-discipline, because we can believe anything for 5 minutes. It's that 6th minute we start doubting. We start questioning. Well, you know, I didn't read my Bible this morning. I guess that's probably why I didn't receive. No, the word has been spoken. The word has already gone out. And if you will hold on to that word, it'll work in your life. It'll turn your situation around. But you've got to act on that word of God. Amen? Yeah. Go back to Mark 5. Mark chapter 5. This is where it all started. Mark chapter 5. Verse 34, this woman that interrupted Jairus, this woman that had the issue of blood, in verse 34, Jesus says to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. That faith is the noun of pistis, is to be fully persuaded again. He says, you being fully persuaded has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Now, verse 35 says, while he was still speaking, Some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? Now think about this. I believe this as I read this scripture. Jesus didn't just say that to this woman with the issue of blood. Daughter, your faith has made you well. He didn't just say it to her. He said it because he knew these people were coming to Jairus. He said it so Jairus would hear it. He's talking to the woman for Jairus' sake. He's given a woman a reality. He's speaking faith and cheer, courage to Jairus. Daughter, your faith, you're being fully persuaded, has made you whole. And Jairus heard, if I'm fully persuaded. And right after that, he got bad news. Don't trouble the master anymore. Your daughter's dead. What shocking news. How do you hold on to faith? Well, if you're not fully persuaded, you won't. Quietness, your house. If you're fully persuaded, you don't back down. As soon as, in verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken to Jairus, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. He's reinforcing, he's speaking faith to Jairus just like he is to us. Don't be afraid, only believe. Don't lose your courage now. Don't start backing down now, Jairus, because we're going to see this thing through. Don't back away. Don't let up on your faith. Don't start letting other excuses crowd you out. Have faith. Do not fear. And immediately, Jesus countered the bad news. Immediately. Well, Jairus held on to his peace. He held on to his faith. His faith again was, come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. That was his faith. Jesus is saying, have courage on it. Don't back down from it. Verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the words that were spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. Then Jesus came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult. That's rowdy. That's a lot of people. That's noisy. And those who wept and wailed loudly. And when he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was laying. Now think about this. Not only did Jairus have to go through the delay, who knows how long that woman with the issue of blood took? We have no clue how long. It could have been a few minutes. It could have been a half an hour. And then the men come and tell Jairus, your daughter's dead. I mean, hope is gone at that point. It's just gone. But Jesus says, do not fear, only believe. Keep your original faith. If he comes to my house and lays hands on my daughter, she will live. Not just be healed, but she will live. Then they get to the house. They got all these people crying outside. Jairus doesn't say a word. Jesus asks him, why are you crying? The little girl's not dead. She's asleep. And now they ridicule him. How would you feel like bringing a preacher into your house? They're mocking the preacher. They're mocking him. Here's all this crying, all this tears, all this stuff going on. You're doing everything you can to hold on. You're doing everything you know to just not react to it. How hard it would be to not break down and cry, to see a dear friend there crying. Wouldn't you want to just go over and hug them and comfort them? Wouldn't you just want to reach out to them and you start ministering to them, it'll be okay? No, it's not okay. Jairus didn't say a word. He just stayed with Jesus. And they walked past the mourners. They walked past the mockers. And they took him into the upper room. See, he only took a few with him. He didn't take everyone. He only took a few. Verse 41 says, then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha Kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. See, I believe Jairus had fear. But in the midst of fear, his courage was greater. In the midst of all the doubting, all the things that came about him, his courage was greater. If God be for me, who can be against me? Romans chapter 4, verse 5, it says, but talking about works of the law versus faith, he says, but to him who does not work, who does not do the work of the law, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is fully accounted for righteousness. Let me break this down. To him who believes, that's the verb. To him who is actively leaning upon me, being fully persuaded, who places confidence in and trusts me and has reliance upon me, who justifies the ungodly, his faith, his confidence of being fully persuaded is accounted for righteousness. In other words, my blessing will be on him. That's what God's saying. Hard times? Oh, yeah. But there's always hard times. There's always things that come against us. No matter how good we are, no matter how happy we are, no matter what's going on, there's always going to be bad times around the corner. In Haiti, they have a saying, beyond the mountains, there are more mountains. In other words, there's always going to be trouble. There's always going to be trouble. But in the midst of that, Jesus says, but be of good courage. Do not fear, only believe. Actively believe. Lord, I thank you every day for my healing. Lord, I thank you every day for deliverance of this nation. Lord, I thank you every day that greater is he who is in me than he that's in the world. Lord, I thank you every day, God, that you are king. God, that you are in charge of everything. Every knee has to bow. Every tongue has to confess that you are Lord. Jesus, I put my trust in you, not in the men that surround me, not in the things that I hear, but God, I'm trusting you. See, actively. This has got to be a purposeful thing, not just a passive event, not just something that God once said that might work out for me someday. No, it's mine today. Without faith, without active faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, don't put that in condemnation. Just start believing. We can all raise our faith up to a higher level, can't we? Every one of us in here can raise our faith to a higher level. So what higher level do you want? Because I would give you odds that higher level of faith that you desire is the desire that God has put in your heart. To believe for the best. To believe for more. To believe to even, Lord, I like the one guy who told Jesus, I believe, but help my unbelief. Anybody in here besides me ever been in that spot? Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I believe you, God. I know, Lord, it's like that leper that came to Jesus. If you are willing. Well, I'll tell you, he's willing. He's willing, but I've got to believe that he's willing. And even in that, if you're willing, Jesus told him, I am, be healed. And he was healed. But wouldn't it be better to just say, Lord, I've received your word. And it's going to work for me. And by the time I get to my next destination, I'll have it. It'll be mine. It'll belong to me. Just saying, you could have a miracle leaving church before you get home. Your life can turn around that quick. Changes can come that quick. Lord, I believe. Do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. Amen. Let's stand up. So we are living faith. Living, active, vibrant, breathing, moving. We talked to a person one time and said, do you understand the name of your church? I go, yeah. She said, no, you don't understand. I said, yeah, we do. She said, your name of your church, Living Faith, is a shout. She didn't use quite that word, but that's what she was saying. It's a shout. We have living faith, not a dead faith. God didn't give us the name of this church, Dead Faith. No, it's living, active, moving faith. Moves mountains, moves lives, change things. It's a living faith, hallelujah. And that's what God wants for you. He wants your faith to be living, to be alive, to be producing things, to be changing the environment around us. Amen? Glory to God. Well, Father, we give you praise. We thank you, God, that we have a living faith. God, that we have an active faith, a faith that is creative, a faith, God, that changes things, that calls that which is not into the reality of our lives. God, we give you praise. We give you honor, Lord, for a living act of faith in us because Jesus lives in us. And we are made whole and complete in the name of Jesus Christ. God, I release faith in this denomination, in this church. God, I release faith over this congregation in Jesus' name. And I say, do not fear, only believe in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.